This is Mace Harrell. Welcome to the Medical Sales Guru Podcast, the free podcast for medical sales professionals. It is an absolute joy and a pleasure to be with you this morning. One of the things we all have to deal with is change. Just to let you know, I'm dealing with a little bit of change myself. After 17 years in the same location, I moved my home, moved my office, and that also means having to get set up all over again. It's a little bit of a job, a little bit of a task, things that need to be done. But the bottom line is, when we're faced with change, we have no choice but to deal with it. This is something that you are no doubt dealing with in the healthcare world. It's part and parcel of working in healthcare. And whether you like it or not, change is part of what you do. So in order to be effective, in order to sell more and to be able to deliver more value to your customers in an era of change, it often means that you have to change. But right now, with it being the time to face a new year, face a new opportunity, and it really doesn't matter when you're listening to this, there is always ample opportunities to consider ways of doing things differently that could help you to be more effective. That's what it's all about. Effective medical selling is finding ways to be more effective so you could serve your customers better, serve their patients better, and ultimately everybody in the chain will benefit by doing this. So what is the main challenge that medical device pharmaceutical sales reps have moving forward? I think one of the big challenges is, first of all, recognizing what they have to do differently. This gets back to the message of change. So let's talk about that for a second. One of the things I realize where most medical reps are not going to change is when we point out the value and the benefit of planning and preparing. This is something that a lot of people don't want to do. Such is life. Chances are you're listening to this podcast while you're driving in your car, and whatever change is going to happen is going to happen between your two ears right now while you're listening to this. At least I hope it's going to happen. So let's talk about that a little bit, what's moving forward. Probably this year there were some targets you had, some customers that you wanted to convert, and it just hasn't happened. Maybe you haven't been able to get to certain parts of your territory as often as you would have liked. Or maybe there have been certain products in your product line which you have ignored. You've just left it to chance. You've let them sit there. You haven't taken the steps necessary to make real progress with your products or with getting them in front of new customers. So the first thing I'm going to ask you to do while you're driving is next year, whatever next year is to you, whatever it is, whenever you're listening to this, or in the next month, in the next quarter, in order to hit your goals, your real goals, what would have to happen? Now, one of the things you're thinking right now, obviously, is, well, Mace, I'm going to have to sell more. If I'm going to hit my goals, I'm just going to have to sell more. I get that. But realistically, what does that mean? What has to happen? Do you have to get in front of more customers? Do you have to get in front of your higher volume customers and convert those higher volume customers? Do you need to create a solid base of your small to medium sized customers to really distribute the business in your territory over that broader base? Is that something you need to do? Whatever's going to happen, it starts with identifying what you need to do. Very, very important. So let's just say, you know, hypothetically, you've decided that there are a certain number of prospects, there are certain physicians in your territories, there are certain accounts in your territories that you really need to be able to penetrate a little bit better. What's it going to take to do that? Think about it seriously. What is it going to take to get past the gatekeepers in these accounts? What's it going to take in order to open up the eyes and the minds of these prospects where they really want to listen to you? And here's where you got to do some serious thinking. So let's start on a different note. What do you think it is that's keeping you out of those accounts right now? What's holding you back? For example, you might be thinking, the thing that's holding you back is, well, I'm not on contract. Our products aren't on contract. The hospital's only buying from a certain buying contract. We're not on there. I can't get in. Or it's the Affordable Care Act. The Affordable Care Act has changed everything. Everything's value-driven. We're a higher-priced commodity, and people just won't look our way. So if you could wave a magic wand and change everything, what would that magic wand do? What would happen? Now, one of the things you're going to realize is that, of course, the magic wand doesn't exist. You can't just wave a magic wand, for example, and lower the price of your product. Whatever you sell, whatever products you sell, there's a very, very strong chance that it's priced competitively in the marketplace. And it's also priced in a way where your company is able to generate the needed return on investment that it got for developing that product and also for the shareholders in your company. Even if it's a privately held company, everybody who has invested in the product, in a product, whether it's the owner of the company or whether it's someone who's bought even just one share of stock, they're entitled to get a return on their investment. And it's the company's job, it's management's job to make sure that that return comes about. So pricing is a big part of this. It's unlikely that your company is going to just step in and lower the pricing of your products anytime soon. So with the current pricing you have in place, what do you have? What does this product offer that's more important than pricing? You see, price really only comes into play. Price only becomes an issue when a potential customer determines that the value does not match or exceed the price that is being charged. That's really when price comes into play. And guess what the role of a salesperson is? The role of a salesperson is to be able to elevate that value such that price is no longer an issue. This is something you have to do. So as you're looking over your territory, over what it is you're trying to accomplish, and you look at those accounts that you haven't been able to penetrate with a particular product, there's not a price problem, there's a value problem. There's a reason that your customers aren't buying from you, and that's because they perceive a better value from whomever they're buying from now, whatever product they're using now. How can you change that value perception? What can you add to it? What can you point out or present about your product in the overall perspective of how that product is used to treat the patient? In other words, if you have a product, and let's say it affects the overall cost of care, let's say your product is a little bit more expensive, but let's say the length of stay with your product, if and I'm just making these things up, but let's say the length of stay in the hospital with your product is one day shorter than it is with a competitive product. That's a significant amount of money. It could be a significant savings to the customer. Are you selling this? Are you presenting this to the customer? What sort of economic advantages does your product provide overall? Or does working with you and your company provide overall? For example, you might be able to provide just-in-time delivery such that the hospital or the physician's office doesn't have the additional cost of having to inventory your product. Are you pointing this out to them? Are you being able to present a return on investment, an overall value analysis to show how price isn't what they should be paying attention to? Because I promise you this, if you're not, and especially if you're selling a product that can be commoditized, with a commodity, the only differentiator is what? Price. You know the answer to that. Just wanted you to think about it. So if price is what's keeping you out of accounts, for example, then you have to be able to have and present other differentiators above and beyond price. It goes, again, getting back to the value proposition. You have to be able to show how your product provides more value. Now, perhaps, your product has more durability. The survivability of your product is much greater than your competition. Can you prove this? And if you can prove this, can you put it into an economic argument to show that ultimately whoever uses your product is going to get a better return on investment than what they're currently using. You see, it's, again, you must be able to sell value. That's what you sell. You don't sell a product. If you are in the medical device, the pharmaceutical world, you do not sell a product. You sell improved value, improved outcomes to your customers. So I've talked many times before about the main value elements that exist in healthcare. And we know that many of these are, of course, are making money or saving money. If you could show how your product makes money or saves money, if you could show how your product reduces risk, tremendous value. A lot of accounts and a lot of healthcare providers don't use the cheapest product they could buy because the cheapest product often adds an element of risk. I'll just make up an example. Let's say that you have a hospital who could buy very inexpensive dispersive electrodes. You might know this as the grounding pad on an electrosurgical unit, or a, you know, we'll call it an electrosurgical unit. I don't want to mention a brand name because that wouldn't be fair. If an account were able to buy a cheaper grounding pad, one of the things they'd have to consider, is this grounding pad safe? Is it as safe as a reasonable alternative that might cost a little bit more? Let's say there was a low-cost grounding pad or dispersive electrode. But the problem is that when a patient sweats, you know, when they perspire during a surgical procedure, that the adhesive on the grounding pad starts to fail and the dispersive electrode becomes loose, starts to tent off the patient's skin. What this can cause is burns. So one of the things a hospital or a doctor is going to look at is they're going to say, wow, this is more likely to cause a patient burn. We have an increase in risk. We need to pay more. So let's turn this around a little bit. I just presented that to you in a way to show that the cheaper dispersive electrode is less value. If you have a product that reduces risk, that increases value. You know, what is the value of avoiding a lawsuit? What is the value of having a patient with a burn, which can lead to further complications, which can lead to additional length of stay, that can lead to a lot of extra stress for everybody involved in the delivery of healthcare? It's huge. But yet, a grounding pad for many customers is a commodity. It's something you slap on the patient, you plug it into the machine, and it works. You have to be able to differentiate your product in a way where you're able to present additional value. If you can't do that, number one, you're not doing your job, and number two, you're not going to go anywhere. So as you're driving now, or if you're stopped at a light, or you're eating lunch, or you're exercising, or whatever you're doing, as you look into your territory, what type of value are you presenting to your customers in your territory that allows you to differentiate your product from whatever they're currently using? This is what you really have to look at very, very intensely right now. Take a look at each customer, and you have to ask them the question. I mean, the question I'm going to ask you is, why are your customers currently using what they're using? In other words, if they're using a competitive device, a competitive product, why are they using it? If you can't answer that question, then you're not doing your homework. This is where we talk about preparation and planning. How would you find out why a customer is using a particular product? Well, certainly you can ask them in a sales presentation or when you get together with them, or even just a chance encounter, let's say in the hospital. You say, you know, Dr. Smith, I'm curious. I just want to ask you a question. I've been wondering this. You've been using the XYZ product, from what I understand, for the last 2 or 3 years. Why did you choose that product? It could be as simple as that. But if you can't ask the end user, then ask someone else. Perhaps ask someone in the hospital. Ask a nurse. If it's in the operating room, ask a scrub tech. Ask the supply coordinator. Ask why they're choosing a particular product. Now, it may be, you know, a lot of times the answer is going to be in this day of containing costs, it's going to be, well, you know, we use that product because it's on contract. All right, very, very good. This is where you as a salesperson, you need to go to work. You need to start looking at how your product can offer additional value to what they're doing now. Because if you're not doing this, again, I'll say it again. Number one, you're not doing your job. And number two, you're not selling additional value to your customers. So as you move forward over the next week, the next month, the next quarter, and while you're driving today, chances are right now you're on your way to a sales call or you're on your way to service a customer. Let's look at both of those separately. If you're on your way to service a customer, what a great opportunity. Let's say you're covering a case. If you're working orthopedics or cardiovascular, you're going to be with a customer, but you're going there to provide service. It's not a sales call. What a great opportunity to ask the question I just told you about before. If they're using a competitive product, if they're considering a competitive product, why are they considering it? Ask that question. Why are they using a competitive product? You know, ask it in a nonchalant way. And you know, you can say, I was just wondering, you've been using this product for the last 6 months. Why did you switch to this product? Get the answers. And while you're there, ask other people why they think the product is being used. If you know what the potential value areas are for your product, start seeding the minds of the people in your accounts with the value that you and your product offer. And ask questions. You know, if you were able to, let's say, reduce the recovery time, you know, by 20%, how would that affect the overall costs for the hospital? How would that affect, Dr. Smith's reputation? How would that affect the way patients would feel overall about the procedure and the care they received? Start asking the right questions, because this is what's so keenly important in order for you to determine the type of value they're looking for and the type of value you can offer. So now's the time. Don't wait until a new quarter, a new year. You are continuously looking for ways to deliver additional value to your customers. That's the business that you're in. You are not in the product business. You are in the value business. And again, while I recognize that it's unlikely that most of you, the top 1% in medical sales, the people who are consistently blowing quota out of the water, you know, making more money every year, some people are even doubling their income or doubling the amount of sales in their territory. I see it all the time. These are the top 1%ers. They spend every spare moment preparing and planning for the next encounter they're going to have with an account or a customer. It is keenly important. And while I recognize that most people, you know, the other 99% aren't going to do that, you know, some will to some degree. When you're driving, when you're thinking, instead of listening to music while you're driving to your next account, I know you want to relax, I know you want to rock out while you're drinking your Starbucks coffee, but take the time to really determine with every customer you get in front of, how are you going to articulate and deliver more value when you get in front of the customer? What questions will you ask to identify what their value areas are? Once you start doing this, and once you start having these conversations, number one, you're going to have much greater access to the customers, because you're going to differentiate yourself from all of the product pushers out there. This is your competition. And you see right now, if you're just talking about your product, if you're just selling product, then you're the type of competitor that man, the top 1%ers love to have. They love having people like you who just talk about your product. When you're able to get out there and have these really effective and important conversations about value and what really matters to your customers, you are distinguishing yourself in such a huge way. It will make such a dramatic difference, not only in your sales, but also in your career. So moving to the next year, the next quarter, whatever it is, what you need to be focused on is how you can identify and deliver more value for your customers. I hope this has been helpful to you. If you apply this, it will make a huge difference in your career. Something I want to tell you about right now, in January of 2016, don't know when you're listening to this, but I'm going to be launching the Medical Sales Academy. It's occurred to me over the last several years that a lot of reps, no matter how much training we give them, no matter what we try to suggest that they do, they're not able to do it on their own. And a lot of reps are kind of uncomfortable going up to their, you know, their upline managers or to trainers in their companies, because there's this uncomfortable feeling that, well, I don't want him to think that I don't know what I'm doing, or I constantly need help, or I can't do it on my own. Well, here's the reality. A lot of times you can't do it on your own. A lot of times you need a coach. You need someone to help you through. I put together Medical Sales Academy as an ongoing training and business accelerator program for medical device and pharmaceutical representatives who want solid, specific, and highly specialized sales training for the medical device and pharmaceutical industry, but also want an ongoing relationship with me and the other people who are in the membership to be able to help them through the tight spots, to be able to help them advance and hold them accountable and keep them moving forward every day. This is what Medical Sales Academy is about. Watch for it in January of 2016. Going to be doing some great free training the first week of January that you don't want to miss. It's going to really show you, if you never spend a penny investing in your education, which I think is really foolish, but if you never spend a penny, you're going to get some great free training on how to deliver value to your customers. But if you want more, we'll show you how you get more at a ridiculously low, reasonable price, which can bring you a return, 1,000 times what you will invest. So take a look at Medical Sales Academy. It will be coming to you. It comes with a guarantee. My goal is to help you move forward, and this is the next step in my career. As you know, I work with big medical device companies, pharmaceutical companies to train their salespeople. But there is always a need for those 1%ers, or the people who want to join the 1%ers, to break out of the pack, who are willing to invest in themselves. You know, their companies maybe can't afford to bring in someone like me, or they're just using the in-house trainers who are just teaching the same old, and it's really not helping you out. This is a way to break out of the pack and move ahead. So check it out. It'll be launching in January 2016, and it'll be evolving and changing to address all the changes in healthcare that we are no doubt going to be seeing from this point forward. So thanks for joining me on this edition of the Medical Sales Guru podcast. I am grateful that you've taken the time and you've invested a little bit of your mind and hopefully expanding it so you could deliver more value to your customers and the patients that they serve. And remember that no matter whatever you do in your medical sales career, the patient always comes first. You are in a position to make a difference in a lot of lives. Go out there and do something valuable. Until we speak again, this is Mace Hara from the Medical Sales Guru Podcast.